Right, good to see everybody. Let's talk about some questions. I'm going to go back to front just to get people who are still here. Okay, Sridhar asked, this is a great question. I don't have a great answer yet. So I wrote a series, he said, you had written a series of emails for 100 days in summer. Are they available anywhere for reading again? Not yet. Publicly, I might do something crazy like put them together as an ebook because I think that might be interesting. Just, you know, a minimal. I mean, it's not going to be like a Kindle book, but it'll just be a simple PDF. But you will see a lot of that content on the creativefierce.com website as we move forward. I just need to make myself a little time. So I am very much looking forward to, I don't have any events in August, so I'm looking forward to getting lots of that content populated. Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. Okay, when is the workshop? Thank you, Lena, and time commitment. We held the workshop live 4 or 5 weeks ago, so it's replays. So the access to the workshop will be replays, and I'll probably release one session a week. The co-working is typically similar times to this workshop. So our normal co-working time is the exact same time this workshop started. And most of my sessions I hold at this time. It's just easier to remember, 12:30 Eastern. And then I have a colleague in Australia. And so she holds sessions in the morning in Australia. That works well for my North American night owls, people who want to do stuff after dinner. So live co-working sessions where you're sitting down with somebody. We usually have a little time to just kind of, if we've got a problem or a question, we kick some things around. It's really focused time to work. And that's the timing on that. Oh, how cool. Great. All right. And the real Lynn also asks what the realistic time commitment would be. I think if you have like focused work that you have to get done every week, like you want to write a newsletter or blog content or any kind of like work that requires your focused attention. I actually have some people who use the co-working implementation support at their day job. Like they use it at their office. Because it's an appointment in your calendar. So they put on headphones, they come in, they log into Zoom, they get their focused writing done, they log off, they go. So we have typically between 2 and 5 hours a week of focused co-working time. And then for the workshop, they're all the same format as this exactly. They run about 90 minutes. It's two mini sessions with a break in the middle. You can do a break on, you know, you can do the first half on Monday, do some implementation, do the second half on Thursday, do a little implementation. And then move to the next one. So because they are replays, you can do them at your own speed, which is the advantage. But of course, you know, it's like live, it's special to do things live. So, and how many workshops are there? Because it's a curated set, I'm thinking probably four. There were originally seven. You can upgrade to the full workshop if you want. If you do the curated set and you're like, I really am feeling like I want the whole thing, I'll get you an upgrade link. No big deal. So see you, Cynthia. Okay. Can I speak to how chatty the co-working is? Not. Do you do sprints? We're going to do a sprint. If you want to try it out, we're going to do a sprint in September. And I want to start doing more sprints. But no, usually with co-working, we get together. We have like 3 or 4 minutes. We usually start about 5 minutes after the start time. Just make sure, you know, people had a good weekend, whatever it is, a little bit of FaceTime. Then I put everybody on mute. I put myself on mute and we go. If it's a long session, I come in once an hour to just remind people to take a break. And then at the end, you know, a lot of times, like at the end of the week session, we'll talk about like, you know, weekend plans. So there's not a lot of chat because I found when I do virtual co-working with friends, it's 50 minutes of chat and then 5 minutes of focus. So if you're disciplined, you can totally just do this with your friends. I'm just, you know, I don't have that kind of discipline. Yeah, chatty co-writers. Oh, thank you, Kate. Kate says to anyone interested in the workshops, they're almost better as recordings because you can rerun them for that perfect phrase you would have lost in the live show. Thank you. Oh, Sridhar, I have to send you some cookies or something. Okay. See you, co-working Joe. All right, let's see if there are some questions. Kathleen got great inspiration and came up with much improved website language as I listened. Oh, I love that. Okay. It's a big, honestly, it is a battery for me when I help people. Like if somebody takes a piece of my advice and uses it, it's like, ooh, topped up my battery to 110. Okay. Let's look at Kate's question on the underlying emotions to address in selling a certification course to professionals and wannabe professionals beyond confidence to answer client questions. What can I add? So the benefits and the emotions in a certification course for professionals. I think Kate had to motor. Oh no, you're still here. Kate, if you let me know what kind of professionals, sometimes that can unlock a few extra pieces. But the underlying, so we, you know, we offered a certification in Copyblogger. And that was of all the things we ever offered, I think that was one of my favorites. I thought it was so, I really felt like it delivered massive value. So the emotional benefits are, you know, you mentioned confidence to answer client questions. I think that's huge. And just confidence in being able to know that you're doing the work well. So that pride in your own work, I think is a big deal. Improved selling because you have a third party certification you can point to. With our certification, it was much more rigorous than anybody else in the industry was willing to do. So we had our editorial staff, part of our tasks, including mine, was to look at certification applications and really read through them and offer in-depth feedback. And we didn't pass everybody. We passed some people, you know, had to kind of resubmit. We asked them to fix some things and resubmit. Some people we couldn't pass. That was a benefit. But we had to be real clear about it. Because if you're not clear, people are going to feel cheated. But we were very clear about not everybody who takes this course will pass any more than everybody who takes a university course will pass. You know, we'll try. We want to get you there. But it's meaningful. So that sense of pride, meaningful pride, not like a shallow multiple choice thing, but something meaningful. But yeah, I think a lot of it is around confidence, status, marketability. And you know, it's always nice to have bragging rights that when somebody else talks you up, and that's what a certification is. I'm not just telling you how good I am. The certification proves that I'm good. But it's a confidence, it's a confidence play in a couple of different dimensions. And differentiation. So, you know, if you're professionals, where do your professionals need to stand out? And who do they need to stand out to? Are they working in an organization and they have to stand out among their colleagues to their superiors so they can get a promotion? Or do they need to stand out to clients so the client will pick them? career professionals, coaches, and counselors, mostly at universities and colleges. I think that coaches and counselors in a university setting, I think it's confidence to do the work. You know, I have a friend, she's a professor, but she does a lot of counseling of her students and a lot of career counseling and just counseling navigating the university. And she really cares about their outcomes. So I would talk about that. If you care about your student outcomes, and I know you do because that's the kind of work you do, the certification will help you get better outcome for your students. It's recharging that battery that I talked about and letting them know when you are more effective with the clients, with the students that you serve, they get a better outcome and you feel amazing. And that's the emotional part of that job. All right, now I might miss a question, but I'm gonna try not to. Yeah, and Sridhar mentioned something, and I think this is really important. I want to underline it. Learning that you can do business writing and still be creative. Because there are people out there who are telling you that you can't be, you know, no, a conversion copywriter has no business trying to be creative. In a world where a good chunk of the writing that we're seeing online is assembled by artificial intelligence or drafted by artificial intelligence and then only lightly edited by a person, creativity is a superpower. Creativity is a superpower. The more machines do the work, the more humanity becomes your winning difference. So put that in your persuasive work always. Persuasions should always feel very human. Now, it should be, you know, your customers should see themselves in that mirror. So it shouldn't necessarily be all about you all the time, but it should be very human. Persuasion needs to be human. And formal, if you're selling to attorneys, then it has to be humans in their formal mode. So it's not casual, it's human and creative. Human brain is creative. It's innately creative. Okay. I'm so glad you guys got value. Thank you. All right. Let me look at... Yeah, so Kevin has, Kevin, the benefit to what Kevin does, and I've looked at his project, which is really cool. Financial planning. Understanding your finances can help people know what their money can do for them. People often spend less than they can afford because they don't know what's possible. Relieve them of financial worries. Show them how to live well within their means. So yeah, Kevin is that's a great benefit, right? Not having to feel like you have to live on ramen for the next 20 years so that you don't become homeless in your retirement, you know? You can enjoy your life today. Kevin's clients are people, you know, who can see retirement from here, right? So the best version of themselves is that person who has a good life today and a good life as their future self has a good life also. They're relaxed. They're confident. They know they have a handle on things. And, there's a big stress that they know is handled. So that's a project that has great, wonderful emotional benefits and very logical benefits too. That's a classic example of, okay, but how? Okay, but you know, the economic climate is kind of crazy. So how do I know for sure? And that's where you can really fold in lots of proof and lots of, you know, good statistics and expertise. So yeah, that sense, I want to just touch on that again. Lane talking about, you know, that fear when we're selling B2B, maybe it doesn't touch people enough to who they are as a person. Think about who they are as a person when they go to work. And that's how you'll figure that out. We're people at work, right? Work is emotional. Work has got drama. Work has got lots of emotion involved at work. And if you're having trouble with it, talk to people about what's coming up at work. Go to LinkedIn. People post a lot of work feelings on LinkedIn. There's tons of voice of customer there that you can look at and just look for the way people talk about problems and then the specific words that they use. All right. Y'all are still great. How long are we going to have? Probably a week, Lena. So no, we're not in a raging hurry, but I'll get you all, I'll get things organized so I can send you all something on Monday. And then probably end of the week, maybe the following Monday. So 5 to 7 days. I don't want you to, I want to give you a deadline, but I also want to give you plenty of time to think about it. You can always ask me questions about this stuff and, you know, email me. It's cool. I love that workshop and I kind of sad not to be teaching it, but I only have a certain number of things I can do well. So I have to remember that and not go off the rails with overdoing stuff. Yeah. And then Creative Fears is a great opportunity because again, unless I like have something unavoidable that I just can't get to, I lead all of the 12:30 sessions, the ones that are at this time myself. So it's a great opportunity to, you know, if you have a quick question I can answer or something that's frustrating, I won't do like a full hour-long coaching session, but 5-minute questions, I'm happy to talk about that. It's part of being in community together. All right. Y'all are great. Okay. Anybody else have anything? Otherwise, I'm going to let you go. Kept us 2 hours today. It's a lot. The best place to get an overview of all that you do. It's very spread out right now. You can certainly go to creativefierce.com, which is where I'm pulling it back together, and just poke around there a little bit. And remarkablecommunication.com, which is my main site. That's my site from the past. And then, you know, Copyblogger. If you just look at Copyblogger, any of my posts and click on the author name, you'll get quite a retrospective of my career. But yeah, I don't have a great overview right now. That's why I launched the new site, was to start pulling all this diffused stuff into something that's more focused. All right. Thank you all. You're great. So good to see everybody. And yeah, we'll be in touch. I'll be in touch on Monday. And take care. Stay fierce. Very good. Thank you, Kate. All right. You're a genius. See you all soon.